Oh, hello. Can we please talk about UFC San Diego at the weekend? There were some good fights on there, actually. The fights were way better than my picks. So I went 3-0 again. Good Lord. They were some really bad picks. I mean, obviously, a couple of them were surprising, actually, because, like I said, especially Ode Osborne. Either way, I am going to be recapping that event, having a look at the winners and losers, also taking a quick look at what's been going on, like MMA forums, stuff like that. Surprise, surprise, you know, people are making fighter pay accusations again, and as they always are. Anyway, I'm going to be doing that, taking a look at some funny UFC memes as well in the next few minutes. There's a fly in here, it's doing my fucking head in. But yeah, anyway, that sounds good. Stay with me for the Burt Locker. Episode 130. So, UFC San Diego, basically sometimes, look, when you're making picks on MMA, sometimes you look like a right dickhead, and I look like a right dickhead right now, because Ode Osborne, what is it about him? And right, he got knocked out by a flying knee by Manel Kapp, right? And he got caught. Like, he was looking good in that fight, and I think Ode Osborne, he's very, very talented. And against Tyson Nam, like, honestly, Tyson Nam is good. He's 38 years old, and he had a reach disadvantage, and Ode Osborne should have been faster. And Ode Osborne went to go for a flying knee that was telegraphed for, you know, he saw it coming from miles away, and so did Tyson Nam, who just smacked him straight in the head and knocked him out. And it's like, so you're either getting knocked out by flying knees, and then you try and do one yourself, and then you get flatlined. Come on, Ode Osborne, stop making me look like a fucking knobhead. God damn it. I'll still bet on him again. He is good. And you know what? But fair play to Tyson Nam. That was a fucking excellent knockout. Good for you, my man. Still knocking people out in the UFC at flyweight at the age of 38 years old is nothing short of fucking miraculous, mate. Congratulations. Well done. You know, I didn't see that happening. I'll be honest. But hey, shut my mouth, right? We've got Bruno Silva again. Maybe look like a right knobhead. Because Bruno Silva, he's a great striker. I don't know where that was on Saturday. What happened? What happened to the guy that had a really competitive fight with what's his name? Alex Pereira. And what happened to the guy that had like 7 knockouts since 2017? What happened to that dude? Do you know what I mean? Or maybe is, look, Gerald Meerschaert, look, he is better than I was maybe giving him credit for. I've always liked Meerschaert, to be fair. He's very, very good. And you know what? The submission was always something that you could put some money on, and there's always a good chance with Meerschaert. I forget what the number is, but he's got something like 26 submissions out of 34 fights. I think that might be 27 submissions now out of 35 fights. But either way, that's absolutely incredible. He's so good at catching people's necks in the transitions. That's basically what he does. He's not like a traditional, oh, he'll get the takedown and move the positions. He just grabs people's necks. And yeah, you know what? It works for him. Fair play. To be fair, it was the hook that knocked Bruno Silva down. He very nearly got the knockout there, which was very, very impressive, because Bruno Silva is very good. I felt like he was loading up a lot, though. I felt like maybe he was overlooking Meerschaert slightly, and because he was just throwing for the fences every single time, and he was missing by a country mile on a lot of them. I was like, this is not normally what we see from Bruno Silva. So yeah, either way, good for Meerschaert, man. He keeps on pulling him out, doesn't he? Good for him. And Cruz against Vera, it was more or less what I expected, honestly. It was power versus speed and movement, and the thing is like, Cheeto, he only needs to catch you once. I thought that there was a chance that Cruz, I was mostly playing the odds. The odds on the knockout for Cheeto Vera were fucking minuscule. So I was rolling the dice on the decision. But this was one where I did say, you know, it could go either way. Like, you know, Dom could get a decision, and he was looking good. However, what I would say is, a lot of people were saying that Dom was looking like the best he's looked in years. The problem is, even when I was watching that, I was just like, okay, he had a great first round and a great second round as well. But I was looking at Dom, he was expending so much energy in staying just a little bit ahead. He was only ahead by a little bit in those rounds. He was expending a lot of energy, whereas I looked at Vera, and Vera was just very calm, not even breathing heavy. Do you know what I mean? You knew that Vera knew that he was maybe falling behind on the scorecards, but his power was going to kind of make a difference sooner or later. At a certain point, Cruz is going to slow down enough. He's going to dip his head when he shouldn't have done. I'm going to get that knockout. And that's exactly what he did. That head kick was fantastic. Congratulations, Chito Vera. I'm a big fan of Chito Vera. I really am. I just think he's got a great work ethic. I think he's a very likable guy. I look forward to seeing who they match him up with next. Really, you know, he could be asking for a title fight next. That could be on the cards. So I'm very much looking forward to seeing, how that one plays out. Because obviously bantamweight's pretty stacked. So because you've got, I think Sterling fights TJ Dillashaw, either next month or this month. Either way, it's fairly soon. But then after that, you know, who's going to be fighting for the belt? Chito would be as good as anyone, honestly. I'd like to see it. So then, before we get into the news, I just want to say thank you for watching. If I could just ask you, please, to hit the like button, subscribe, share the video, you know, leave a comment, do all of that good stuff, because it helps me out no end. I'm just trying to grow this thing. I enjoy doing this more than anything. It's fun for me. If I could turn it into something bigger, then that's something that I'd like to do, honestly. So, obviously, don't forget the Patreon as well. The Patreon, I do put extra fight picks on there. So, Go ahead over to there, and you get exclusive picks every week. It's only £1 a month, and it just helps to support the show. Do you know what I mean? It's a no-brainer, really. That's the Burt Locker on Patreon. Head over there if you enjoy my content. So, there's only really one thing that I'm looking at in the news. It's not even really news. It's just something that kind of... I know that they're not real people in these Facebook like groups and shit like that, but it's always very skewed. And I just don't like what I like to call MMA virtue signaling, because that's all it is. It was an MMA news outlet, and they've put up a picture of Ariane Celeste and said, you know, she's made $1 million this year, and Ghani's last fight purse was $600,000. It's like, right, okay. But what you've done there is you've taken what Ariane made, including all the sponsorships, everything outside of the UFC, and you put that just against what Ngannou made for one fight, base pay, no pay-per-view points, etc. If you took into account the sponsorships and the pay-per-view points, in that one night, Ngannou made more than Ariane Celeste. Do you know what I mean? And heaven forbid a woman should make more than a man, right? Huh? No, I'm just kidding. Either way, look, they're two different jobs. So Ariane Celeste has been in the organization for how long? What, like 15 years at least? Johnny, she has been putting in those hours. She's putting in those years. And you know what? She does a fantastic job. And the thing is like, they're two completely different skill sets. They're two completely different jobs. Who's to say one is more worthy than the other? Like, just all those people that were fucking chatting shit on there. It's like, how much do you know about what it entails being a model? About the schedule? About the work that you have to put in? The travelling? The hours that you have to fucking keep into keeping yourself relevant, right? And people say, yeah, but you know, Ngannou has to train, like, you know, outside of that to get that money. It's like, wait, do you think that you look like Ariane Celeste without hitting the gym once in a while, you fucking dickheads, huh? Do you think that just happens, huh? Do you think, what, she doesn't fucking diet? She doesn't have to watch her nutrition? She's a fucking athlete in her own right to a certain extent, because she literally, like, she is... No, she keeps herself in good enough shape to be a fucking sports model, for fuck's sake. How much do you know about it? How many of you are actually fucking sports models that know about the work that goes into that? She probably earned every fucking penny of that $1 million, you fucks. Yeah? And look, and also, another thing, Ariane has never gone on fucking public fucking forums and fucking and actual public speaking things and disrespected the owners of the company, the president of the company, been vocally fucking, dissent and fucking subordinates. Like, she hasn't done any of that. Ngannou has. And they still pay him. Like, and the thing is like, it brings us back to people go, oh, well, the UFC don't pay the fighters what they're worth. Show me What Ngannou brought in then? Show me the numbers. Because the thing is that I'm not saying that the fighters are underpaid, overpaid, or paid just right, because I am saying that we just don't fucking know. People need to stop pointing the finger like these MMA virtue signaling cunts that they are, because all it is just pointing the finger, because it's so easy to just call Dana White a scumbag and say that he's stealing from the fighters, because, oh, it makes you feel good, doesn't it? It makes you feel good to say that because you're pointing the finger at the big bad bully and calling him out. Yeah, you're a real fucking big man, aren't you, you fucking dicks? Do you know what I mean? It winds me up. It's like, it's so easy just to go, oh, look, they should pay the fighters more. Like, Jake Paul fucking comes out with all this bullshit. How much did the undercard fighters on your last card make? How much did they make? I bet it wasn't the fucking guaranteed fucking $10,000 minimum on a fucking UFC contract. Because I've got news for you. You look at the fucking Bellator, right? At the end of the day, the UFC have created a business model that is sustainable, and they've created a system whereby even their lowest paid fighters can make a living. And they look, if you can't survive on $30,000 a year, I'm sorry, but that's down to you. But people can. People survive on a lot fucking less, all right? Not every fighter is going to be earning $1 million from the gate, but their minimum is $10,000. You are contractually, in the contract, the UFC have to offer you 3 fights a year. That is $30,000, even if you lose all 3 of your fights. And if you lose all 3 of your fights, then maybe MMA isn't for you, right? But that's all completely besides the point. But all I'm saying is, right, so in that year, so you get 3 fights a year, that's $30,000 a year. In that year, if you are a fucking Bellator fighter, you have made $6,000, probably less, at the same level. If you're a Bellator fighter on the prelims, you have probably made $6,000 in that year. And guess what? They still have to pay their coaches and shit as well. So don't start throwing all that fucking garbage out at me. Fucking idiots. So, and then, you know, if you're a boxer at that level, you've probably made $1,500 that year, right? But no one's fucking, like, ranting and raving about the money in boxing because Jake Paul's too busy fucking calling out the UFC. Fix the fucking problem in boxing first. And then, once you've fixed the fucking real disparity between the haves and the have-nots in boxing, then you can start casting aspersions on how the UFC conduct their business. That is when you can do it, not before. Anyway, I've probably ranted on about that for long enough. We should probably have a look at my troll of the week, just to try and lighten things up a little bit. So, yeah, I actually saw this one earlier on today, and it did make me laugh. It is to do with with Dominic Cruz, because do you remember? Like, he said about Keith Peterson fucking smelling like fags and booze or whatever. And, it is just so funny that he's like, Dominic, I've got a picture of Dominic Cruz. It's a tough loss. I'm not making fun of Dominic Cruz at all. Legend of the sport. And I thought he did give a good account of himself, but I did kind of always see it going that way. But in any event, he said on ESPN, not to make excuses, but Herb Dean smelled like Jack Daniels and marijuana. I think a better ref would know that I was seconds away from knocking Vera out. And yeah, it was a tough loss for Dominic Cruz, but that is a funny meme, and I did thoroughly enjoy it. So, that is all I've got time for this week. What I'm going to be doing my normal fight picks on Friday, possibly Thursday this week, actually. Either way, there's going to be extra picks on the Patreon, because let's not forget, it's Kamaru Usman versus Leon Edwards this week. That's going to be a really great fight. I'm going to be breaking that fight down, looking at what both of these guys do well, what they do badly. Also, Paulo Costa against Luke Rockhold. That's going to be huge. Jose Aldo against Marab Dvalishvili. Dvalishvili is one of my absolute favourite fighters out there. I think he's such a workhorse. Tyson Pedro versus Harry Hunsucker. Martin Chibiro versus Alexander Romanov. Oh my God, that is a hell of a card. I will be breaking all of those fights down. So check that out later on in the week. Until then, keep those odds long and those bets terrible.